Over a decade ago, the National Restaurant Association issued a report stating that Italian, Mexican, and Chinese cuisines had become so popular they had moved beyond the ethnic food category and into the mainstream. But less familiar culinary traditions are making an increasingly greater impact on how we eat in America. In Kansas City, for example, there are more opportunities to sample the cuisine of the African continent than ever before. Today on Central Standard, we'll learn the differences between the dishes served in East and West Africa and where you could taste those dishes in our very Midwestern city. Our restaurant critics panel will be joined by two African restaurateurs who can answer our questions and yours about a distinctive and delicious culinary tradition. But first, the news. And welcome to Central Standard. This is Charles Ferruza here with you from The Pitch, joined by Emily Ferris. And Emily, where are you from?
Originally from Independence, Missouri.
But currently with FeedMeKC.com.
Yes, FeedMeKC.com and the Feed Me KC podcast.
Very good. And Ms. Basica?
I am Chris Basica, and I write for the Restaurant Guide of Kansas City.
And this is the Friday Restaurant Show, which we do on KCUR every other Friday, and we have two special guests joining us on this show. We have Abraham Hadish from Awaze Restaurant, which is at, what is it 3415 Main or
15 Main.
3415 Main.
Yes, sir.
And Awaze Restaurant is an Ethiopian restaurant, but you have Caribbean dishes as well, right? And
yes, sir.
Yemenese dishes as well?
Uh-huh. We have it.
And our other guest today is Esther Mulba, and Esther is originally from Liberia.
Yes.
And you came to the Kansas City area to go to college.
Yes.
I bet you didn't get your degree in cooking, did you?
No, I have my MRS degree.
All right. Esther is the owner of Esther's African Cuisine, which is in Lenexa. And what is the address of that?
It is at 12980 West 87th Street Parkway.
All right.
And it's right off 87th Street.
And forgive me, I somehow neglected to mention my favorite.
Favorite?
Yeah, what's that?
Oh, wait a minute. My favorite restaurant critic that I neglect frequently.
oh, nice.
Mary Block. And Mary Block it writes for the Kansas City Star and her own blog.
My blog is called Around the Block at AroundTheBlockKC.com. Thank
Forgive
you,
me,
Charles,
Thank
for
you.
Not forgetting me forever.
I just happened to look over from Esther. I thought, who's that?
Yeah, I
you
threw you
recognize
off by,
me.
By telling you I was from Independence. I thought you were just gonna.
It just threw me off.
Talk about not having exotic cuisine in my hometown. Yeah.
Well, it's musical chairs today. We're all out of order.
I know it, but we are happy to have our guests here and our food critics, and we're going to be talking. This is an interesting show for us because we've never really delved into the world of African cuisine on this show, and I think we're all going to learn a lot, and you can too. By calling us at 816-235-2888, that's 816-235-2888, or send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org, or you can send us a tweet.
To @KCURCST.
All right. There is a big difference, or maybe there isn't a big difference, between West African cuisine and East African cuisine, correct?
Yes,
and,
sir.
And Abraham, why don't you start us? What is the difference, the culinary differences between the two parts of Africa?
From West and East Africa, mm-hmm. We have a different culture. East Africa, we have different culture. In West, they have different culture.
How is the food different, though?
We have special, like, East Africa, like Ethiopia, we call injera.
Which is that spongy bread.
Yeah, spongy bread, and they have spicy different.
You use a different palette of spices in Ethiopia than you would in other parts of Africa?
Yes.
Oh. And Esther, Liberia.
Yes.
What would be the spice palette for Liberia, and how would it be different from Ethiopian food?
The spice would be, we use mainly a lot of the vegetables, like bell peppers. We use it's just, you know, a little different. The spice would be a little different. We use a lot of onions and garlic. And what make the food a little different also is the temperature and time.
All right.
Give it a lot of different in taste.
Okay. How long, by the way, have you had Esther's African cuisine?
We've actually started small in an African store last year, October. And we had a lot of requests. It was just a to-go. And then we moved into our new location, which is a full-size restaurant, in April of this year.
Very good. Congratulations. Wow. Lenexa seems to be an unusual spot. I say that, but, you know, I used to work in Johnson County for many, many years. And Johnson County is where, I believe, the first Indian restaurant I ever went to in the Kansas City area was.
Almost the first Chinese.
Too. Yeah, absolutely.
So almost.
First Korean almost. Restaurants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
I have a question. You said cooking, the cooking time. So is it at a low temperature for a long time or hot quickly?
Actually, you start from a rapid temperature, and then you reduce it to, once it gets going, the temperature increase, and you reduce it to like medium. So the average cooking time would be close to from an hour to hour and a half. And that actually, you can taste a difference.
From a quick cook.
From a quick cook.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Liberian cuisine, I know that Ethiopian cuisine has a lot of vegetarian dishes or a lot of meatless dishes. Mm-hmm. Is Liberian cuisine mostly vegetarian as well, or do you use a lot of meat?
We hunt and we eat.
Okay.
But we don't need a lot of meat. We probably would eat a lot of fish. But it's a lot of vegetables, so our dish would be considered, if you look at like the sweet potato leaves, but we call it potato greens, you have more vegetables and maybe just shredded meat in it. You know what I mean? So it's not like in the U.S. it's meat, you know, would give the dish, but in Liberia it would be most of the vegetables.
You know, each of the regions we're talking about, East Africa and West Africa, have their own specific kinds of breads. And, of course, most people in Kansas City know, because we've had Ethiopian restaurants here for some time, injera bread is an Ethiopian tradition.
It is 100% Ethiopian dish.
What would be the bread of Liberia, Esther?
The bread would be rice bread.
All right.
That's very popular. And we have.
Is it very thin, like a tortilla almost, or is it thicker than that?
No, it's thicker. You will put in a category as having like a cornbread, but it's made from rice and banana, no sugar, but it's very sweet. We make it out of the very ripe banana.
Is it a yeast bread or is it an unleavened bread?
It's no yeast.
Okay.
Yeah. And we add a little bit of soda just to rise it up, but it's mainly bananas and rice.
But it's a side dish as opposed to the vehicle for your food.
Yeah, it'll be a side dish. It'll be a breakfast food, you know.
I have always wanted to know how you make injera. And I want to know how come it explodes in your stomach and fills you up so fast.
It's a sponge.
Yeah, Ethiopian injera, really, we call the flour teff. So there is nowhere to make. Now it's popular in the world. But it used to only Ethiopian. So to make flour, we grind it, and we make water, just fresh water, and just make it like bread, injera.
Is injera a sourdough bread, or does it just have a slightly sour taste?
It is different. The restaurant, they have recipe in different, but our recipe in also different. Because we make it teff, and a little bit of flour, wheat flour, because we can make it spongy. So it is healthy food. No chemical, no sugar, no salt, no nothing. Just water and flour.
I guess that means that there will not be an injera wonder bread anytime soon. No, I take it no. Okay. We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. If you'd like to send us a tweet. You can send us a tweet, too.
At KCURCST.
All right. And we are taking your emails also to centralstandard@kcur.org. Are both of your restaurants open for lunch and dinner?
We open lunch and dinner. We have, vegetarian lunchtime, most of people love it vegetarian. So they have dinner time, most of chicken and beef and lamb. They order people. So from 11 o'clock until 9 o'clock straight, we serve it vegetarian and meat stuff and Caribbean.
All right. And what are some of your Caribbean dishes?
We have Caribbean dishes the best in jerk chicken and curry chicken, okay, and tilapia fish and shrimp curry.
All right.
And we have a plant, like meat jerk chicken too.
Okay.
And fried plantain.
You've already sold me there. I love fried plantains. And Esther, do you have a lot of seafood as well at Esther's African cuisine?
Actually, we only have the tilapia. We have one of the best in town.
Tell me how you prepare it then.
Oh, my goodness. We have the filet, and we have the whole catch.
The whole fish?
The whole fish.
Eyes and all?
Everything. So a lot of people just love the experience of having that.
All right.
And we have it stuffed with a lot of garlic and onions, and the flavor just go through it. So we have people come, they wash their hands, and then they eat. So,
right. So if I don't like the experience of the fish eyeballs on my plate, will you cut it off for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I don't mind a whole pig, but a whole fish I still can't handle.
And you make a lot of stews, or at least one peanut stew at your restaurant, correct?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, the peanut stew is, we call it a peanut, a ground pea soup. It's the same, but it's eaten mainly West Africa, Mid Africa. It's one of the staples. The peanut stew is made out of in the U.S., you can use, peanut butter, the natural peanut butter. It's very economical. For the vegetarian, you can have it without meat, and you have your broth, and you scoop your peanuts in it. Again, at a high temperature, you reduce the heat and let it simmer. So it cooked until it looks like a stew-like. If you like, you can throw in a fish. If you like, you can throw in vegetables, whatever your preference is. And then you can eat it with fufu.
What is fufu?
Fufu is made out of, the tapioca plant that you guys have. Okay, the root, cassava. So it's fermented, it's dehydrated, and what we do, we mix it up, and it looks like a dough. But it has a lot of fiber, so the sugar is not rushing to it. It fills you up, like the bread fills you up pretty good. So a bowl of soup can actually take you longer. You're not as hungry as, you're not hungry so fast. So
I'm all for that soup.
Yeah. I love peanut butter, so I'm going to try this. And when you say a broth, is it a spicy vegetable broth?
Oh, no. You can add, we add the, our food isn't hot. Most people think it is, but we have the sauce. We have Esther sauce. It's a little sauce that we made through our family. And we have it on the side. And if some people just like on the side to put a little bit on it just to bring the spice up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to. You can load it up with it's so cheap. Mm-hmm. Basically, $20 can probably feed a family of six.
Huh. Oh, yeah. That is economical.
Yeah, very.
Huh. So I'll take my family of six there. We are talking, if you've just tuned in, this is the Central Standard Show on Fridays. We are talking about food, and our special guests today are Esther Mulba, who is the owner of Esther's African Cuisine in Lenexa, and Abraham Hadish, and he is from Ethiopia, and he owns the Awaze restaurant at 3415 Main Street in Kansas City. And we are talking about African cuisine, West African cuisine, and East African cuisine. And you have a dish, Abraham, that is, I think, the national dish of Ethiopia, and it involves, is it raw meat?
Yeah, we have raw meat. Is like, traditional.
Okay.
So we not make here right now, but when people know Ethiopia, we make it. He called kitfo.
So it's a dish that you have to ask for, that it's not on the menu, correct?
No, in the menu, but we write down. Anybody, they have a lot of people, American people ordered kitfo, love it. So we have secret butter, my wife and my mom and by myself, we make it that the butter one. So only temperature is 110 temperature. It's not really cooked, just only warm. So they call mitmita, the powder, so they eat with injera. So they have also made it house cheese. It was milk, but we made it like cheese.
Okay.
Only milk and water. So they eat together with that.
We are starting to get phone calls at 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Pablo in Kansas City, Missouri. Pablo, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
And you have a question for us?
I just wanted to find out, I noticed that they named the restaurant Awaze, and are you going to serve Awaze sauce at the restaurant?
Well, why don't you tell us what Awaze sauce is?
I think...
Oh, Abraham, what is
it? Awaze is... It's a Berber, and we made it a different secret house. So we have wine a little bit. We have garlic and some ginger. But it is secret. We have like three kind. We're not going to say anybody else. This house secret. And
what do you serve Awaze sauce with? Does it serve with meat or vegetables or both?
A lot of people, they want to try with meat, with a kitfo, what I say, doro, like lamb and beef. So people, they say, without spicy, but spicy side, Awaze. So that's why we give them, it looks like ketchup.
Right.
And we side injera. So people eat side.
So they ask for Awaze sauce on the side because it is so spicy?
It is spicy. For me, I grew up. From 6 years, 5 years. So for me, it's nothing. But some people, they really is spicy.
What makes it so spicy? What is there peppers in it? That's right. It's secret. Okay.
It's secret, but this like jalapeno.
Uh huh.
But it's a little red one. So we grind. They have a lot of seasonings inside. It's straight. It come from Ethiopia. It's our spices, really, my mom, she made it, she sent me, and that's why it's organic spicy we have.
Very good. Does that answer your question, Pablo?
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And we are talking to Esther Mulba from Esther's African Cuisine in Lenexa, and Abraham Hadish, who has Awaze restaurant on Main Street in Midtown Kansas City. Jennifer sent us an email. Are there any staple ingredients to your home cuisines that you cannot find in Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What can you not find in Kansas City, Esther?
One of the secrets.
we don't want to give all your secrets away, but maybe one tiny one. What can you not find in Kansas City that you have to order elsewhere?
Or you could tell us, is it a grain? Is it a spice?
It's a spice.
Okay.
And we have to order it. And there's another vegetable that we order.
Okay.
So some of our food ships from Hawaii, from New York, from Chicago. So we have a lot of those shipped. And hopefully, I'm talking to some of the distributors that we will have some, in Kansas City, because a lot of our customers ask for those spices as well.
Hmm. Where is the best place to shop if I'm trying to cook African food?
Well, there's one, is Bantu African Tropical Market. It's off on Johnson Drive in Neiman. She's from West Africa, so she has a lot of West African cuisine. There's another one on 37 next to Wazi Restaurant. She's been there for a long time.
Yeah. I've seen that store many times.
Yeah, and they have one in Raytown, and they have that. But with Bantu Tropical Market, she can basically order me anything I want. I just tell her I need it, and she gets it for me. So she's really been a lot of help.
Great. Well, I think this will be the most important question we can ask her today, which is, do your restaurants have desserts?
Oh, my goodness, yes. We don't have a lot of desserts in Africa, but we have our famous purple pie.
Purple pie.
It's not from a naturally purple sweet potatoes, and it's one of our best during football games. People order it by the sheet.
All right.
Yeah. So
K-State.
Yeah.
K-State.
That went right over my head. Forgive me.
So.
Now, is there anything? Are there any desserts at Esther's restaurant that do not involve sweet potatoes?
Yes, we have the chochos. Is milk candy. We don't have a lot of sweets in Liberia. We don't, you know, but we have the chochos. It's a milk candy. Some people say it tastes like sugar daddy.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of them like that. We all grew up on it, so people would travel from wherever just to have that. And we have coconut candy, which is made very simple from fresh coconuts, and people travel just so, and it's very tiny. So when they eat, after they eat and full, they just need something sweet that they don't have to have, you know?
A gigantic piece of cake like
exactly.
I would order? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And Abraham, what kind of desserts do you have at Awaze?
Surprise. We don't have really Ethiopian dessert, but we made it, we call asambusa. So they have a vegetarian dessert, like cabbage and carrot, and they have lentil inside. So the people, they need it sometimes sweet. Sometimes they don't need it non-sweet. So we make it fried. We have that we call asambusa. And we have sometimes like burrito that in sweet, only sugar, you know, like burrito. We make it like fried and top sugar and like honey.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's what we have right now.
Yeah, because Americans like desserts. Mm-hmm. Well,
especially in Kansas City.
Yeah, I can speak for all Americans.
We have tea. Our back home, we made it hot teas. We have spicy hot. That's why our dessert.
Let's take another phone call, and this is Scott. Scott in Gladstone.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank you. You have a question for our guests.
Well, actually, a question, a comment, and some significant praise. So. My wife and I were Peace Corps volunteers in the 70s in Ethiopia. So we know Ethiopian food very, very well, and we just happened to be in Abraham's restaurant this past week, and it is absolutely terrific.
That's great.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite dish?
I do. My favorite is what's called kaiwat, and kaiwat is translated basically means red wat, which is it's a meat dish that's made with beef and whatever, and it's like a stew, and it's really very, very good. My wife's favorite is what's called Misir Wat, and that is a red lentil wat. It's vegetarian, and it's really good. If you want to eat the big-time Ethiopian thing to make is Dora Wat, and Dora Wat is made with chicken, and it comes with a boiled egg. It's really kind of it, but that is that's as hot cuisine as you get in Ethiopia. And if you're an American, you've never tried it before, you really ought to because it's really absolutely terrific. It's a lot of fun to eat, but it's probably a very safe thing for an American to order would be some kind of a Tibs wat or Tibs, T-I-B-S.
And that's basically... Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, is Tibs a kind of meat?
It can be either beef or it can be lamb, or if you're in Ethiopia, it can actually even be goat if you want it. But usually it's either beef or lamb. And it's basically meat pieces. It's not as heavily spiced as some of the other stuff, and it looks a little bit more familiar to the American taste. So, but it comes with a butter sauce and some spice, and it's absolutely terrific.
It sounds delicious. Hey, thank you so much for that phone call.
You betcha. Take care.
That was Scott in Gladstone, who obviously knows his Ethiopian food.
Yeah, thank you.
And do you do the trays? Abraham, where you can have a little bit of a lot of different things?
Yeah, actually, people, when they come to my restaurant, I'll just give it to them, like, what they want. People, they don't know. Sometimes they are new, so I just teach them how they eat. I teach them what's the best. All our dishes, the best food. That's why I make it. So they order, they say, a keyword. A little bit, they cook a lot, like Awaze, what they have spicy, the same thing. Dorowat is right, favor the Ethiopian culture. When we have holiday, everybody eats chicken. So our traditional food, like Kewot, Dorowat, Kitfo. So we have vegetarian different lentil, and spinach, cabbage, potato, and carrot. We have the best made in house salad.
All right. And do you have a lot of chicken dishes at Esther's?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What are some of your best-known chicken dishes?
We have the chicken gravy, and it's chicken, whole chicken, bone-in, slow-cooked, falling off the bone, with African gravy that you can eat with rice, you can eat with fufu, you can eat with just about everything.
I think after this show that everyone in Kansas City is wanting to eat chicken with fufu.
Yeah.
I just feel that. I don't know why. Well, wow, okay.
Yeah, we do have that. And we have the, of course, the chicken is in a soup. And if people want the granite flavor, we scoop in the granite flavor, you know, for the peanuts in it, yeah.
All right.
So much great protein.
Mm-hmm. I know it. I know
sounds,
it.
It all actually sounds really flavorful and really healthy.
Healthy,
yeah,
yes.
I know it.
In fact, a lot of the, we have neighbors, like the exercise people, they refer people to eat our food, and I didn't even know that.
Well, we are going to take a momentary break. When we return, we'll talk about new restaurants in town. I want to thank our guests, Abraham Hadish and Esther Mulba, for coming in and talking about African cuisine with us. If you've got more questions, we're happy to take them at 816-235-2888, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Charles Ferruzza with The Pitch, joined by my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris from FeedMeKC.com, Chris Basica from... What is the name of that magazine?
The Restaurant Guide of Kansas City Restaurant Guide.
How could I forget that? I've seen it for years.
I know, and it's everywhere.
I better have another sip of coffee. And Mary Block, from your multiple sources, where are you from?
Around the Block at aroundtheblockkc.com, and I write for the Kansas City Star and do their restaurant guide.
Very good. You did an excellent article about cheese, I think, last Wednesday?
It was in last Wednesday, yes. Thank you.
All right. We have just finished our conversation with Abraham Hadish and Esther Mulba, who are our guests, discussing African cuisine. And we did learn something at the break. Abraham Hadish's restaurant, Awaze, on Main Street, does serve liquor, so Chris Basica will be there.
Exactly. Come and see me anytime.
He has a bar. We could still take your calls, but we're going to transition into the new and newer restaurants in our region. What recently opened restaurants have you been to? You can join our conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org or a tweet to...
@KCURCST.
And I just want to remind you that later today you can find all of the restaurants we have discussed today on Central Standard Friday page of kcur.org. Well, I can tell you that I am... After the first half-hour show, I am eager to go to both of those restaurants.
I am, too. Mm-hmm. They sounded great.
They sound really did. Very good. All right. So why don't we start with Chris, and tell me what new places you have been to.
The newest place I've been to is Drunken Fish out on 119th. Thank you.
And now that is a St. Louis-based chain.
It is St. Louis-based.
And this is the second one in Kansas City.
Right. The first one is in downtown Power and Light. And they took over Faux Thai, I believe is the place.
I think that place maybe that location may be coiced.
Well, I hope not, but very pretty restaurant.
Did they take the Buddha out?
The Buddha is gone.
Oh.
The Buddha is gone. The inside looks, you know, I only went to Faux Thai once, so I can't tell you if they did a substantial remodel in there, but... They did.
Substantial. It's so much better.
It's
lighter. You can see who you're sitting across from. They got rid of the Buddha. They got rid of the fish.
The Buddha was the best part of that restaurant.
And
you
Buddha
don't have
was
to,
hysterical.
If you've had too much to drink, you don't have to worry about falling off the bridge on your way to the bathroom.
Yes.
So there's no more fish under the bathroom floor.
No, they took away the glass floor of the.
But they added a sushi bar. Very long, very good looking sushi bar, actually. And we had a couple dishes, and they were fine. And we were outside, and it was very, very pleasant. I feel sure that they'll get their service issues worked out.
Were there some service issues?
Well, it just was slow. It was just slow, and it was a fairly busy night. So, and they're new.
Maybe they Maybe it's the servers were as drunken as the fish. I don't know.
I didn't see one drunken fish either.
Really?
I'm not sure how you tell if a fish is drunk.
Well, they used to have that glass panel in the bathroom. And
you could see them. Yeah, that's where they went. After we went there, though, we did go to North, which on this was a Saturday night, was not that full because North has been having a few issues, apparently.
Hmm. And it's the Italian restaurant in that same shopping district?
Yes, center? Yes. Also, okay. They call it an Italian farmhouse, and it's just down the row, 4579 West 119.
Were there any drunken fish in there?
Not a one. Okay. I kept looking for them. But the they cleaned house recently, as it was put, and so they have all new service staff. They had a fabulous – we sat at the bar and had some things, and they had a darling, beautiful, very nice bartender. And
well, let me ask you this. I never had any problems with the service at North or the food, really, but it was so noisy in there. It was really one of the noisiest restaurants in the town.
I agree with you, and I don't see anything to stop that. It's okay. Not like they've changed any of that, but we sat at the bar, which the advantage of the bar is you can always talk to the person next to you and you can hear each other.
Oh, okay. That is a plus.
So that was very fun. And then the other just sort of new thing I wanted to mention, just because I went there and they've done such a nice job, McCormick & Schmick's has redone their interior. And their fall menu is coming out next week.
How dramatically have they redone the interior?
Well, you know, it looked so spiffy. They've added some new carpeting. They put some tile in the bar area, which I don't know what that does to the noise level particularly.
I never found that to be an especially noisy bar, though.
No. Well, happy hour is really noisy there. But the catering, you know, the rooms with the special rooms that they have and those little cubbies, that the little casual cubbies that you can sit in, are just so nice. And we had the most wonderful it wasn't barbecued, but there was a sauced salmon that was just wonderful, wonderful. And, McCormick's gets in really good fish.
And, you know,
and great oysters.
Last year they redid their outdoor patio.
Right.
And it's one of the prettiest in town.
It is pretty. And they've got music. And it's just a very, very pleasant place. I really like McCormick's.
All right. Mary, where have you been?
Well, I was also at Drunken Fish.
Oh.
And I thought it was very good. It's very similar to the one they have downtown.
Right.
But I suspect they'll be more successful than Fotai. And on the same...
But without the benefits of Buddha.
Exactly, which is probably why they'll be more successful. and speaking of sushi, Bolings has started serving sushi at their Plaza location at 4701 Jefferson.
Do they have much of an array?
They have a huge array of as many items as you would have at any sushi restaurant. And it was hard for me to order that because I have so many dishes at Bolings that I like, but... I went with somebody else, and we had a large selection, and it was all excellent. And that's such a cool place now.
Yes, so now they have sushi and the ramen bar and their desserts section.
And Chinese food.
And Chinese food.
Yeah, I mean, they have really wonderful, wonderful French-style cakes, yes. Which I love that they have that. You know, it's not a lot of ethnic restaurants, really have much of a not a lot of ethnic cuisines have a lot of tradition for the kind of desserts that Americans like, which of course are fattening and heavy and frosty filled.
So that's why we like them, and other cultures are thinner. Are you trying to make a connection between that?
Can't you tell by looking at me? Yes. Emily, where have you been?
I went to a few new places. I went to the District Poorhouse, which is at 7122 Warnell. It's in the old. Was it the Gaff? I never went there. The Gaff. Is that what it was called?
Oh, so it's reopened as a new restaurant already?
Yeah, where Romanelli's used to be.
Yes,
and then Romanelli's, the Gaff. And
yes.
I have not, honestly, we recently moved over to Harrison. I haven't spent a lot of time in Waldo before now, but with Remedy in this place, I'm going to be going to Waldo a lot. I love this place. As soon as I walked in, I was really into the decor. It's been, I was never at the Gaff, but I heard it was completely gutted. There's cool barnwood up and cool art. The decor just seems, it's very open and cool, and they're still getting in some booths, and they're waiting on some things, and in their bathrooms, you can wave your hand over little sensors to get in and out.
What do you mean, they lock you in?
No. Oh. So you don't have to touch the door handle ever.
Oh.
It's next, amazing.
You know, for people with obsessive compulsive disorder, that'll be a very big thing.
I know. Yeah. So now I'll transition from bathrooms to food. the food there is I loved it. It was great. I went during lunch. They don't have a lunch menu yet, but they have a really big menu.
Now, let me ask Emily, is this a chain or is this a local restaurateur doing
this?
It's
a local restaurateur. It's I don't remember their names, but one of the owners came to our table and talked to us for quite a while, and he's there a lot, and I know he was working late nights and long days, and the food is really good.
Why don't you tell us some of the fun things they have on that menu?
There's a crab dip served with corn hush puppies, and it was so good.
Crab dip. It sounds really rich.
It is super rich and creamy. It's almost like a soup. Another thing they have is corn nuts, which is deep fried hominy. And so when we ran out of hush puppies to dip in our corn dip, we were just putting our corn nuts, or in our crab dip, we were putting our corn nuts in our crab dip.
You know, that sounds like a really low-cal starter.
You know, Blue Stem food has those at happy hour in their lounge. The barbecued corn nuts, they are addictive.
And these come in two flavors. They have ranch or Cajun, and we got Cajun. And the Cajun flavor wasn't very strong, but they were the texture and they were so good. We had mushroom toasts, so it was baguette with wild mushrooms and some melted Gruyere. And the risotto balls, more deep-fried goodness, with a red pepper sauce. And
do they have cheese in the center of them, the risotto balls?
I believe there was some cheese in them. Okay. Yeah, I was a little full by the time I got to those. But finally, our salad. We didn't move on to any entrees, but we got a goat cheese salad. And it had fried goat cheese and beets and pickled red onions.
Now that I'm on this theme here, do they have desserts?
They do have desserts. They have a semolina shortcake with rhubarb compote and semolina crumble. I don't know about the name semolina. That's the what they call pasta, semolina pasta.
Right, it's a grain. Yeah.
I love rhubarb though. I haven't tried it. An orange flan, a D brownie which with mint meringue and fudge.
That sounds really good.
And cookies and milk with chocolate chip peanut butter and snickerdoodle.
And is it loud? Showing my age.
You know, I went for lunch and there weren't that many people in there. I can see how it would get loud. Uh-huh. But I mean, I feel like. It's Waldo. It's a bar. It's Waldo. It's called the Poorhouse. If you don't like loud, don't go.
We should say Poorhouse as in P-O-U-R.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because, you know, Kansas Cityans seem to have a a weird resistance to going to places that have poor in the title. Because if you remember, Po' Folks, the chain Po' Folks, didn't do especially well here. Yeah. And I think it's because
nobody wanted to be Po'.
Listen, I was Po' and I didn't want to be Po' in public. All right. Where else have you been, Emily?
I chased down the Taco Republic truck.
How was it?
Finally. You know, it wasn't what I expected. It was good.
In what way was it not what you expected?
I was expecting really street-style tacos, the double corn tortilla with a lime, and they came in flour tortillas, and there was no lime. But the tacos were good. There were some that I liked better than others. The staff was super, super friendly. The chips and guacamole were really good. I think we tried 6 of the 7 tacos. But to be fair, it was like a 90-something degree day. So I'm looking forward to trying the tacos in the restaurant when it opens at 47th and Mission.
And I think that's going to be soon. But I'm pretty sure I had corn tacos. I think you can ask to have which you want. Uh-huh. So next time.
You mean corn tortillas?
Corn tortillas. Okay. I'm sorry.
I was not given the option we ordered, but maybe it was on the menu and I missed it. I was kind of shielding my face from the sun and trying to not melt. So that may have been my own. I may have missed that on the menu.
I agree with you. The corn is better, and we had them, and I thought they were really good.
Mm-hmm. I really wanted a lime, especially on that hot, hot day, to squeeze on my tacos.
I was going to kind of piggyback on you talking about the new restaurant in. I have not been to Poorhouse yet in Waldo, but you did mention Remedy, and I wanted to say that Remedy has a new chef.
I read your little blurb on that.
Yeah, starting this week. It is on the Pitch blog at pitch.com. The new chef is Marceschi. I just love that name. Marceschi Hervey, and he's been cooking in restaurants for the last 20 years. Many of them you would know. Room 39 is one. And I don't think they're going to change the original menu that Max Watson, the former executive chef, created. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that people love that are not going off the menu.
Eggplant fries.
The eggplant fries and the a beef on weck sandwich that I think maybe the only one you could find in Kansas City, except maybe Cafe Europa still has it. But very talented chef. And starting Monday, he will have nightly specials every night.
Oh, good.
And he also used to work for Christopher Elbow, so he is going to introduce a dessert that's a plate of his own handmade chocolate truffles, and that's always good.
So he's still going to do farm-to-table type of food.
As much as he can, but just as specials.
I just want to mention an event really quickly. We were talking about trends last time and beer dinners, and Providence New American Kitchen at the Hilton President is doing a beer dinner Thursday night with Odell from Colorado. And you can go to their website or Facebook page and find their number to RSVP, or we can put it online. And it's five courses, $50.
And each course is paired with a beer?
Each course is paired with an Odell beer, yes.
All right.
Beer dinners are getting to be as popular as wine dinners.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, I think last week Beer Kitchen had a vegetarian beer pairing dinner that was really good. All right. Any other new? Well, let me think. Where have I been that's new lately? I have been to the Reserve at the Ambassador Hotel because they have a new chef.
Yes, they do.
From Ireland. And I went there for brunch on Sunday, and he makes his own scones, or as they say, scones or whatever. And
with cream.
And his own handmade jam that was absolutely delicious. And he makes, I have to tell you, the best corned beef hash I have ever had in my life. Oh. It was so delicious and so tender. And
that's such a cool place. And I enjoyed going when I went and had drinks and all, but I didn't love the food. And I'm glad to hear they have a new chef.
He at this point, he has totally changed all of the menus to really reflect his imprint.
Good. I went one time right after it opened and had very bad experience with the food.
Had really good experiences there.
It was inconsistent, I think, and he was a talented chef, but it was inconsistent. And I think this new chef, Sean Brady from Tipperary, Ireland, I think he really has a lot more control over that kitchen. And he's got a great, great sous chef, Jeremiah Lyman. So if you have not been to the Reserve, this is probably a good time to go. And Chris Pasica, you will like that restaurant because, of course, it is also the bar.
Oh, indeed, I know. And they they have a really nice, several really, really good drinks. I hope he's not changing all of them.
I don't think that is his area of expertise.
Good, because there are several there that we sampled.
Really? Okay,
more than one time.
All right.
Yes.
We are taking your phone calls. If you've been to someplace new and delicious that you want to share with our listeners, the telephone number here is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org or a tweet to...
@KCURCST.
We did get a tweet from Christina, who, apropos of our first half hour, says, "I love Blue Nile," which is in the
River Market,
"for Ethiopian food. So good, reasonably priced, and healthy. Lots of vegetarian, vegan options, too." And that is one of the real pluses.
And that's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of a standby.
Standard.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about new chefs. I went to, I was treated to the American restaurant dinner there, and they have a new chef, Michael Corvino, who used to be at... mansion at Turtle Creek in Dallas, and he's totally revamped the menu, of course, and I couldn't decide what to get because everything looks so fabulous, and everything was really good, beautiful. It wasn't quite as great as the menu would have indicated it was. I loved everything, but I wasn't blown away, so I'm hoping that I will be, but I'm happy he's there because he's going to change things
up
a bit.
Yeah, I think it has changed quite a bit, and the food is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Well, beautiful is great, but is it delicious?
Everything I've had there so far has been just great. Okay. And I will tell you, I got my first tour of the American restaurant kitchen because we took our granddaughter there a couple weeks ago. And
she asked for a tour of the kitchen?
She wants to be a chef.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah. So, but, you know, so
she's
so that
only
was,
three.
Yeah, she's a little older now. But, and they, the menu did not much appeal to a nine-year-old, actually.
Right.
So they made her chicken fingers.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Which
I'd love to know what the American version of chicken fingers are.
Let me tell
are.
You, they melt in your mouth, and they are really, really, really good. And they are big enough pieces that Brennan did not get to eat all of the chicken fingers. So.
Wow.
Well, Nick, the pastry chef, is still there, so I'm happy to say the Knicker Bar is still there on the menu as well.
We have a phone call from Kathy in Lenexa. Kathy.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, listen, you folks were talking about beef on weck just a few minutes ago.
It's one of my favorite sandwiches, yeah.
I had the best beef on weck ever in Buffalo, New York.
That's the homeland for it.
Well,
that is where it started.
It was just mouth-watering, but I had a pretty darn good beef on weck at Swagger in Waldo a few weeks ago.
And is it? But let me ask you this. This is the important thing. Is it actually served on something comparable to a Kemmelwick bun?
Well, they did a pretty good job at trying to substitute that. It wasn't your true Kemmelwick, but they did have the seeds and the salt on the bun.
Okay.
So, you know, Swagger, they're one of our favorite places to go for great sammies. So anyway, give it a try.
All right. And let's go to Danny in Redbridge. Danny.
Hi, guys. I've got a quick question for all of you, but particularly for Mr. Ferruza.
Uh-oh.
I have not yet been able to listen to your show today because I've been in transit, but I just drove past Apu's Cafe. And I'm wondering, has anybody on the panel been in there yet?
Papu's Cafe. It's in the gas station at 75th Street.
Oh, and yes. Warnell.
It is indeed in a gas station, and the food is wonderful, and I'm wondering if you've been in there yet.
I have. And thought it was really, really good.
I've only gotten takeout. It's so small, I never want to eat there, but I've gotten takeout from there, and it was delicious.
I sat there.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that, you guys. I was afraid that you wouldn't lower your brow and eat where there's a gas served, but the fact of the matter is that I think they do a great job with the Mediterranean food.
Some of the best restaurants in Kansas City are in gas stations.
I know it.
And I'll eat anything.
When you talk about lowbrow, he's definitely not talking about this panel.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll eat anywhere and any place at any time. Let's go to Sheila in Maryville. Sheila?
Hello. I just want to say first how much I enjoy your show when I get a chance to hear it.
Well, thank you.
Being a Kansas wheat farmer's daughter, I wanted to clear up the misconception about semolina.
It's a flour.
That was mentioned earlier. Yes, it's a flour, not a pasta.
Oh, I said it was the flour used in pasta.
Yeah, it's the most popular flour for pasta.
Yes.
Right. It makes especially good pasta. So just wanted to make sure everyone wasn't surprised about that. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
All you doing your broadcast.
Thank you. You know, I always thought that if I had a child, and obviously I didn't, I would call my daughter Semolina.
Well, I think we are better off in so many ways.
In every possible way. Anyway, we are talking about food with the food critics. And, we could almost do a show on good restaurants in gas stations because I've been to some really good ones. Yeah, and, you know, there's not as many gas stations as there used to be.
Exactly. Well, and Taco Republic will be the newest one when it opens.
In Mission?
It's KCK, actually.
Yeah, it is KCK. Mm-hmm. Right across from Oklahoma Joe's. I said to somebody, they really ought to have a huge sign at the beginning saying, no line over here. Come on over.
Yeah. Right.
And get all the people who are standing in line at Oklahoma Joe's.
Yeah.
What other new places have anyone been to?
I would love to hear from the audience if there are any new places around them.
Where should we go?
Where should we go next? I haven't. I've got two that I've not been to from today, which
right.
I plan to go mm-hmm. to.
And if I promise I'm going to go somewhere on the air, I have to go. So somebody
you're
should call.
Very,
and,
you're very very good about that.
Somebody should call and suggest a place for me to go.
Oh, I did. I did go to a new place as we're coming to the top of the hour. Speaking of tacos and cheap tacos, or I should say inexpensive tacos, I finally stumbled on, it's 3 years old, so forgive me for taking so long to stumble, but there is a taqueria, a very nice little taqueria, on way far east on Independence Avenue, about 6200 Independence Avenue. It is owned by the people that own the Torito 3 Meat Market. Right next door to it is an old Burger King that they have turned into Taqueria El Torito. And they have a nice little selection of $1 tacos. If you want tripe tacos, they're $1.50. But really, really delicious tacos. Mm. I mean, delicioso.
They even taught you to speak Spanish because they're so good. That is cool.
You'd be amazed at the things I've learned there. But they also have desserts. I don't know where the desserts come from. I think they come from one of the Mexican bakeries on Independence Avenue. But they had a slice of cake. It was half chocolate cake and half flan.
Oh.
I'm telling you.
Oh.
I was in Nirvana.
No.
Oh. Holcos has a cake similar to that.
Do they?
That's really good. Yeah,
with the flan, it's so rich.
Let's take one really quick phone call, and this has to be quick. Travis, what do you want to tell us?
Well, I recently was at Oddly Correct Coffee, and they had donuts. I asked them where they got them, and it was a bakery in Kansas City, Kansas, called Hanna's, run by a Czech couple who make really, really good pastries. And on the weekend, they have homemade strudel and kolaches.
And can you tell us where Hanna's is in KCK?
Yes, it's at 34th and Steel Road.
Oh, okay.
It's just a little west of 18th Street Expressway and Steel Road exit.
Perfect.
Oh. And do you know where that is exactly?
I do know where that is.
Are there any landmarks that we should know that would guide us there?
I can't. No.
Not really.
Okay.
if it's not a landmark-rich environment.
All right. Well, thank you. Hanna's in KCK. Also, Kathy emails us. I went to Vivalore last Friday. The Vivalore is in Independence. It is the Englewood Shopping District. It is a lovely little restaurant that a wonderful harpist and delicious appetizers. And I'm telling you, when I'm eating delicious appetizers, I want harp music. I just have always been consistent about that. Anyway, I want to thank my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Chris Basica, and Mary Block. Of course, you can always find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcor.org/Central Standard Friday, and archival recordings and podcasts of all of our previous shows. Up to Date is next with a look at the Plaza Art Fair. Our show today was produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz. I'm Charles Ferruza. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your food, Kansas City.